Hey everyone, today is going to be a very businessy episode. I'm going to give you a behind the scenes look at my business. So we're not going to talk a lot about language learning today. If it's your first time listening to my podcast, hello, my name is Azarin. I run a business called the Calgary Language Nerds. We teach a whole bunch of different languages. If you would like to learn a new language with us, please go to my website and you can contact me from there. My website link is in the description box of today's episode. So as I said, today I'd like to give you a behind the scenes look at my business. Specifically, I'd like to share some things that I have been working on at my business, the Calgary Language Nerds. There are about 5 or 6 different concepts I've been working on. The first one is called activation. Activation, my understanding of it, it's the first time a student has a positive experience at my business. It could be that they take one class, they learn a lot, and they had a lot of fun. It could be that they meet with me during a consultation, they're really struggling with something, and I'm able to give them a piece of advice that's very helpful. It's the first time they interact with my business and go, wow, that was very helpful. That was really, really, really good. Woo, I like that. Activation, at least the way I'm interpreting it, or at least the way I'm understanding it, would be specifically when people have reached out to me or someone on my team to take classes at my business or use one of our paid services. For example, you might have listened to a podcast and thought, oh, wow, that was really cool. That was really helpful. I like that. But you don't take classes. I wouldn't really call that activation. Activation for me is a student or a person is activated when they've looked into paid services and then after looking into paid services, had a very positive interaction or a positive feeling, I guess, from interacting with someone at my business. So that's one concept I've been focusing on, which I didn't know about before. It seems like, based on what I've been learning about, it seems like activation is very important when it comes to student retention. They have to be activated as quickly as possible. In other words, they have to realize as quickly as possible that, oh, this might work. These classes or this business might help me. I might be able to get something good by working with this company. The next concept I've been working on, is time to value. I want to decrease the time to value as much as I possibly can. So if activation is the first time a student feels like, ooh, this might work, I might be able to learn a language with these guys, if that's the first time they feel that sense of hope, time to value is the amount of time it takes a student to actually feel like, ooh, these classes are working. In other words, a student might have 1 or 2 classes and feel like, yeah, this is great. But then 2 months later, 3 months later, maybe they feel like, I don't know if I've really made a lot of progress. I don't know if this is working. So the time to value is how long does it take for a student to feel like, oh, these classes are working for me. This app is working for me. This program is really working for me. I want to reduce the time to value as much as possible. So that's something else that I am working on now in my business. Time to value is also very important for student retention. Logical enough, right? Because if you pay for something and it's not working, well, you're not going to keep using it. So if it takes 24 months for you to finally feel like it's working, you're probably going to stop using it within that 24-month window because 24 months is a very long time. Does that make sense? The next thing, and this is the big one that I've been working on, is communication pre and post the initial sale. When a student is looking to take classes or work with, really take classes, yes. When a student is looking to take classes at my business, there is a certain chain of communication that will happen. Initially, they email me or they contact me in some way to say, Azarin, I'm interested in working with you or one of your instructors. That's the initial communication point. Then I reply. Then there's some kind of initial phone call or Zoom call or consultation. After that, provided that schedules align, the budget works for them, pricing works, blah, 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 all that works out, then they make the initial sale. They make a purchase. Then after the purchase, there's a certain amount of communication that would happen. Maybe after the first class, you check in. Hey, how was your first class? So on and so forth. There's communication pre and post the sale. So one thing I've learned about is called mirrored communication. So you look at the number of contact points a customer has with my business before making a purchase. There must be at a minimum that many contact points after the purchase. So in my case, I'll just tell you what it looks like in my business. Usually people email me, I reply, they have a consultation, then I send them a bill. So there's four contact points before they pay. So after the sale, I want to make sure there are also four different contact points to make sure that the student feels like they're supported and they really are supported. Otherwise, I feel like, oh, I just paid and then off we go. And so I've put together a better, in my case, it's really a better post-initial sale communication process. My communication process post the sale before was not really, well, it was almost not really non-existent. It's not quite true, but it wasn't very systemized at the very least, you could say. The next concept is a version of mirrored communication, but it's called ongoing, rather the term I heard, is called ongoing onboarding. Ongoing onboarding basically means that, at least my understanding of it, is that after you pay for a product or service, you're going to encounter certain problems either with the product or service itself, or problems that just you didn't anticipate when you initially made the purchase. I'll give you an example. Maybe you pay for language classes, right? First class is great, second class is great, homework is going well. But after four classes, you realize that you're having a hard time remembering vocabulary. And you go, wow, it's hard to remember vocabulary. And what ends up happening is 6 weeks later, so maybe 4 weeks later, you realize you're having a hard time remembering vocabulary. 2 weeks after that, you decide to stop taking classes because you think, man, maybe I'm just not good at learning vocabulary. Learning languages isn't for me. I made a mistake. I'm going to stop my classes. I'm not learning Spanish anymore. And the reality is that if I'd been doing ongoing onboarding, I would have given you a very simple solution to remember vocabulary faster. So when you're like, oh my God, I don't know how to remember new vocabulary, I can literally just give you a resource or write a blog post or an article, or your teacher can talk to you and they go, oh, here's a very simple solution to that, or here's what to do about that, or here's some options. Then you go, oh, okay, well, let me do that. And then it works for you and then you keep sticking around longer. You know, a good example of this would be with a non-language example of this would be with my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I had a pretty fast, pretty fast activation. Like it was fun pretty quick. I enjoyed it pretty quickly, right? They did a pretty good job with mirrored communication. Like they had, roughly speaking, I think, if I remember correctly, probably had a similar number of contact points before my initial sale and after the initial sale, something like that. But then I got injured really quickly, right? And maybe that's common. I actually don't know. But if they'd done ongoing onboarding, even I actually told them why I stopped taking classes. But if they'd been like, oh, that's actually kind of common. The most number of injuries happen in the first 2 months of taking classes. Here's the common mistakes to avoid. I might go, oh my God, I didn't know I should be avoiding that mistake. I made that mistake. Oh, crap. Now I know. And then if I'd had that list, I would have recovered from my injury and probably gone right back. Like, okay, well, now I know the seven things I should do to avoid getting injured. I didn't realize that there were seven things. I just didn't know. I didn't even know to even ask about that initially, maybe. It didn't even really fully occur to me. It's not their fault. It's not my fault. It's just something that happened. And with better with that ongoing onboarding, if they were constantly onboarding me as a student, constantly communicating, it would have been, maybe I would have come back. I wouldn't have just quit. And so with language students, I see it all the time. Something happens, their schedule gets busy, right? Like maybe if I communicated, hey, if your schedule gets busy, here's a really easy way to keep your language studies going when your schedule gets unexpectedly busy. So when it happens to you, because it will happen at some point, you're like, oh, well, I'm busy. Here's a very easy way to keep learning languages. Okay, cool. Well, awesome. That was helpful. So like ongoing onboarding is something I've currently got a better system for, which I didn't really have any system for before. Okay. The next concept, as I said, very businessy, guys. So a lot of business things. We have one, two, three more concepts that I've been focusing on. The next one is called product market fit. Very basic concept that I've known about for a long time. And honestly, it's so basic. I can't believe I didn't really work on it before, but now that I'm working on it, I can see why it's so important. So product market fit basically means how well does your product fit the market? In my case, service. I don't have a product, I have a service. How well does your service fit the market? In other words, is the market, you guys as language learners, are you looking for something? Or rather, you are looking for something and my business fills that need. So you're using this app, you're using this service, you're using this class, whatever it is, right? And with everything you're learning, you're getting a lot of things that are working for you. There's a lot of things that you like, but there's things you wish you had. There's things that you wish you could have in your language learning routine, but you don't have any products or services that match that need. So product market fit means that the market has a need, it's not filled, but my product or my service fills that need. And the better my product or service, in my case service, fills that need, the stronger your product market fit. So one thing I've realized is, you know, here's an example. I have a side project called Learn Gujarati with Me. It's a podcast and it's a YouTube channel. It's a side project. So I make some videos and podcasts every now and then, but I don't really spend a ton of time on the project. Not in comparison to running the Calgary Language Nerds, of course. But here's something really interesting. With that particular podcast and YouTube channel, I get leads and emails from people without really putting much effort in. Because nobody talks about Gujarati. No one makes content helping Gujarati learners. I'm basically the only guy, I think. So I have a really strong product market fit. So even though I don't spend a ton of time on it, compared to Calgary Language Nerds, I get quite a bit from the minimal effort that I put in because a product market fit of Learn Gujarati with Me is actually probably much stronger than the product market fit of the Calgary Language Nerds. I have a way stronger, I think, product market fit with Learn Gujarati with Me than Calgary Language Nerds. So I've been learning about product market fit and I've actually made a lot of changes to how I deliver my services, how I advertise my services, how we teach our classes. I've made some changes to have a stronger product market fit, hopefully, at the Calgary Language Nerds. Last two concepts. Next one here, it's a nice quote. Fancy fails, simple scales. I like it. Fancy fails, simple scales. I kind of like this. So when there's a problem, there's probably a very simple solution to the problem. Isn't that what Occam's razor is? I think that's what that is, right? Anyway, there are usually simple, usually the simplest solution is the thing that's going to work the most effectively for the most part. And I think I tend to get too fancy. I try to have fancy solutions to things when I really just need to keep things super, super, super simple. And over the years, honestly, that's been one of the biggest things. I keep learning and I keep simplifying how I behave, how I talk, how I communicate. And I'm just really focusing on simplifying everything that I do. So that's been a concept I'm trying to implement into the Calgary Language Nerds. The last concept, and this is honestly, this probably should have been the very first thing I talked about because it's probably one of the most important things. It's qualifying customers before they make a purchase. Qualifying them before they make a purchase. Previously, like prior to recently, I would basically accept payment from anyone that was trying to learn a language that my business offered, who could afford the rate, and whose schedule matched, you know, one of my instructor's schedule. So it's like, if you're learning French, you can afford my prices, and we have a French teacher who can teach you, and you are available when they're available, great, go take classes. That was as simple as that, which honestly, maybe that's what you think a business would do. In fact, that's probably how I viewed businesses. Like I thought, oh, that's what businesses do. You know, you're available when I'm available, you can afford it, cool, come take classes, yay. But recently I've been like, you know what? No, that's not how it should be because I actually want to qualify. Like there's certain expectations that I want to make sure that we're aligned on expectations. Like, what are you expecting and what do we do? And what do we expect of you and are you going to do it, right? So I'll give the main really there's a couple of expectations of my business that are important to me that I actually don't want you to pay if you can't, probably don't want you to pay if you can't meet this expectation. One of the big ones for me is that you respond to messages. So if your teacher texts you or emails you about whatever, are you responsive? Or if I email you with whatever, are you someone who is responsive? And vice versa, that expectation goes both ways. You can expect and you should expect us to be pretty responsive as well. So if you're not a very responsive person, honestly, we're probably not the best place to take classes. You probably want to go to somewhere else where responsiveness isn't important, right? Most likely, there's a couple exceptions, but generally, that's a rule that I have that I never really communicated. And that causes problems when a student isn't responsive, actually. And it's way better when they are, right? There's also expectations just about how much time it takes to learn a language. Like, how much time are you expecting to dedicate? And how much time does it actually take to make sure that we're clear that, hey, this is how long it will probably take you. Here's how much homework you can expect. To make sure that you are very clear on what to expect after you make a purchase. And for me to be clear what you're expecting from us before you make the purchase. And that's kind of a qualification process to make sure that our expectations are properly in line. I'll give you one example of this, another example rather, aside from the responsiveness. I was talking to a student, right? And she, or new potential student, and she goes, yeah, you know, I spend time in Mexico, and so I want to make sure I learn some Spanish basics. And I was like, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, you spend months there at a time? She goes, yes. I said, okay. So you want to learn some conversational basics that you can use in day-to-day life when you're in Mexico? She said, yes. Now, normally, I would have left it there. And I would have said, okay, great. Let me put you in touch with the tutor. The rates and everything worked out. She's availability, rates, everything's wonderful. All that checked out. And I said, I would have said, hey, let me put you in touch with the tutor. You can pay. Off you go, right? But this time, I was like, well, no, I want to really make sure expectations are clear and we're on the same page. So I said, well, in your day-to-day life, like, what do you tend to do? I asked that question. Do you, like, go to the market? Do you go to grocery stores? Do you, like, I don't know, do you have friends you talk to? Do you, like, I don't know, what do you do? So in my mind, I was picturing, like, her curriculum would be, like, asking for directions, going to the market, going to the grocery store, going to restaurants, taxis. These are the kinds of things I had in my mind. Turns out that's not anything what her day-to-day life looks like. She doesn't care about the market. She doesn't care about the tax. All that stuff doesn't matter. She has a car. Like, her day-to-day life primarily consists of talking to this one person she knows in Mexico. She knows someone there. And basically, the vast majority of the communication she has with people in Mexico is with this person. This person doesn't really speak English. And my student, this new student, clearly does not really speak any Spanish at all. Like, very, very, very little. I was like, oh, your day-to-day life consists of talking to this one individual, this friend or whoever that you know over there? Oh. So could you imagine if she started to take classes, very quickly she would have been like, this is not what I'm looking for. I don't want to learn about taxis. I don't want to learn about going to the market. I don't want to learn about restaurants. That's not what my day-to-day life is. I said day-to-day life. I'd be like, well, yeah, day-to-day life is going to taxis, restaurants. And in her mind, day-to-day life means something very different. So setting very clear expectations is important. Make sure that what the student is expecting aligns with what we deliver. And to make sure that anything that is very important to me or the tutors as an expectation, make sure that I communicate that clearly before the first purchase is made so that the student can go, oh, well, I don't know if I can really align with that expectation. Does that make sense? So yeah, those are some of the main concepts. Anything else I want to mention? Let me look at my notes. Oh, sorry, one last concept. One last concept that I've been really, really, really focusing on. It's called the rule of 100. I've talked about it before. It's not my idea. It comes from Alex Hormozi. And basically it means this. If you seriously want to get better at something in your life, language, health, business, career, dating, relationships, whatever it is, anything. It really applies to anything. You need to take either, it depends on what the goal is. I think certain goals will fit better in one category than the other. But either you spend 100 minutes a day, every day, trying to improve the aspect of your life that you want to improve, or it's 100 actions per day trying to improve upon the aspect of your life that you're trying to improve. So for example, if you were in a sales job, it might be 100 phone calls a day, like 100 sales calls, maybe, right? If you were trying to get more in shape, it might be 100 minutes a day and not 100 actions. Because how do you track actions with exercise? Is it reps? Is it like, I find 100 minutes easier with exercise, but with sales calls, I'd probably say 100 sales calls. So in my world, what I've been doing is 100 minutes a day on my health. Usually that manifests itself in 100 minutes of exercise. I'm not quite at 100. Usually I get to 60 to 90. I'm trying to get to that magical 100 number. Just haven't gotten there yet. And then for me, it's 100 tasks a day to grow my business. Sometimes I aim at 100 minutes spent on growing my business. Sometimes 100 tasks. Like a task in my world might be like emailing people. Like let's say I've got like a promotion and I know I've got, I don't know, 25 people that I know who might be interested because it's really applicable. One task might be emailing that person. It takes 30 seconds to do, or 45 seconds, or a minute or two. It's really fast, but that might count as one task. But sometimes, like today is one of those days, you know, I was mostly doing a lot of planning work that is going to help the business grow, I think. But it's not really task-based. It's like, you know, it's just a bunch of sitting and planning some stuff out. Then I just do 100 minutes. And, you know, generally I'm doing quite well on the business front. Like, I'll just read it to you if you're curious. On the growth side, like yesterday was a bit low. I only got to 40 because I actually have a really big, yesterday is a really big teaching day. There's one day a week where I have like tons of teaching that I do. It's the only big teaching day I have because of this one contract I have, and they just hire me for like a bunch of classes. But then the day before that was 259. I got to 259. I think that day was a mixture of tasks and minutes. I had a couple of like sales things that were like minutes-based. I had a bunch of tasks. So 259, couple days ago. Day before that was 62, so a little bit lower. Day before that, though, was 114, right? Day before that was 103. Day before that was 335. Day before that was 100 on the nose. Like, I'm trying to get to 100 a day if I can. And yeah. Well, let's wrap that podcast up there. Thank you for listening. Appreciate your attention as always. If you have any questions, comments, whatever it is, feel free to go to azarinthelanguagenerd.com/contact. That link is in the email, or sorry, in the podcast description box below. And we'll chat later. Bye-bye. See you later. Bye-bye.